Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning from 6:30. Martin Alling. Morning, Martin.
Morning, Stoney.
Morning. Nice to see you. I watched some of the Masters last night. I was in and out. I actually listened to quite a lot of it. I went to bed after the Arsenal game and I listened to the last bit for about an hour. And it sounded like the two Americans, DeChambeau and Koepka, made a great charge. I mean, pretty much anyone you bet on is out already. Is that fair to say? The weight of the cash, of your money on their backs, that just blew any chance they might have.
Stoney, I very rarely ever bet on anything.
It's probably bet for the best, I would
and
say.
And so mine. I thought Sunday evening, final round of the Masters, to make it just a little bit more exciting,
yeah.
A fiver on Rory, a fiver on Justin Rose, and an each way bet of £2.50 each way, so it's another fiver on Paul Casey, who always does well at the Masters. I thought that's going to be wonderful for Sunday night. One of them's got to come in and get that buzz.
Paul Casey, I believe finished on seven over. It might be six, but he was not in a good place. He was on the last grouping, and they were having a terrible time. Him and Jordan Spieth. Justin Rose, I think, finished on 3 over par. I think that's right. And Rory McIlroy, he's still in it. 1 over par, still in it. He is 8 shots behind the two leaders, I should say. Or 7 shots. Sorry, 7 shots behind the two leaders. So it's a fair way. I don't mean that in any... oh, my goodness. Paul Casey actually finished on 9 over.
Did he?
Yes, that's right. He did. He had an 81. That's right. I did hear that as I was dropping off last night. 9 over. I think 81. You can wave goodbye to that fiver. As for the other two fivers, well, you know, Justin Rose... And Rory McIlroy, I think not, because you had him on as to win it, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. With Rory, anything could happen. I mean, he could shoot at 62, 63, and it wouldn't become as a surprise.
He's going to have to shoot a couple of them to be in contention,
yeah,
I would suggest. Brooks Koepka, by the way, who's won the US Open and the PGA, I think, and he doesn't get the recognition he deserves. And he's been moaning about it in press conferences. But he shot another outstanding round yesterday, 66, as Bryson DeChambeau, the highest at Phil Mickelson rollback. He is 49, I think he is, in a couple of weeks.
He shot 49.
Which would be very impressive. He shot 5 under. The Brits challenge is being led by Ian Poulter, 4 under par. I mean, you said he's like Arsenal, he'll fall away before the end. You do that on purpose, though, just to have a go at me, don't you?
Yeah, it was. I really like him. I love his character. I love him from the Ryder Cup. I mean, we all must love Poulter, whether he's an Arsenal boy or not. He's been a fantastic golfer.
That helps for me.
Yeah, of course it does. But we all love him from the Ryder Cup, don't we?
Yeah, it is.
He's a talisman for our Ryder Cup team, taking on the Americans. I'd love him now to go on and win it.
I mean, that'd be a story, wouldn't
after
it?
After me, 3 fivers have gone down the drain.
Well, all I would say for Ian Poulter's sake is don't put any money on him now, right? Because he would have come in and you'll think, hello, there's an opportunity for betting. Just leave it, is what I'm saying, all right?
Yeah, I don't bet much, I promise you. Well, very rarely, if ever.
Otherwise,
I'd say it was a one-off to
do this on
Sunday
night. You'd be wearing rags, wouldn't you?
I am.
If that was the case. Love sports. Jamie's got some stories from inside the newspapers.
Yeah, I have, yeah. An entire British football squad was hauled off an EasyJet flight.
But they won't say
yesterday.
What team
no, they
or
won't.
What league.
All they'll say is an amateur team from the Bristol area.
Oh, is it from the yeah. Bristol
what did,
area?
What did they do, James?
Just being booze up, really, on the flights. Yeah, causing a bit of disruption. Drunk and disruptive, I think, was the official line.
Yeah.
Other passengers burst into applause as the rowdy group was taken away off the EasyJet flight. That must have been pretty bad to be hauled off the plane.
Yeah, and get all their baggage off.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
This is before they left.
Yeah, before they left.
Oh, no. They were really behaving badly.
Yeah.
And you'd like to know which team it is, just so you know what you're up against, when if you're playing in the same league as them.
Yeah.
But it's an amateur team.
Amateur
a pub team.
Well, yeah, probably just a Saturday afternoon team. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it doesn't say. Bit annoying they haven't said, because, yeah, I might have played against them.
Or for them, yeah. Knowing you.
Could be my team, yeah. I did think, I wonder if the boys have hopped on to Alicante. But no, I don't think it was them. Although, actually, last week, they played against Minehead. You know Minehead?
I know it. Yeah.
There's a Butlins there, aren't
there? Yeah, there is a Butlins there, yeah.
My team I used to play for when I was back home played against Minehead. And after the game, it got quite heated during the game. There's quite a few people from Minehead boozing on the touchline. After the game, they all jumped the fence and started attacking my team's players. Fully punches thrown. They all send them pictures of their like bruised faces and cuts. Yeah. These Minehead.
What's your old team called?
Winscombe, yeah.
Where's that?
Yeah, North Somerset. So they have travelled down to the other side of Somerset, the south side. Minehead have always been like that.
It's a Somerset derby is what it is.
Well, it's the Somerset County League. That's the league.
Oh, okay. So yeah. All the games essentially are Somerset derbies.
Yeah.
Right. Another derby. My God. These are intense, aren't they?
Don't have to travel very far again. No. What are the chances?
Local again. I can't believe it. Right, okay. Anyway, it all kicked off on this flight and they got thrown off.
Yeah, and they got thrown off the flight.
Terrible behaviour.
Could have been the Minehead lot again.
It's possible. Chances we are on. We are speculating, aren't we? Let's be fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but if they want to sue us, then go ahead, Minehead, I reckon. Another story here about the car park ban imposed by Meghan and Harry. It's caused a bit of outrage.
Car park ban?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, but they stopped them using the site because it overlooks their new home in Windsor.
All right. There was a car park and Meghan and Harry said you can't park there because you can see in through the windows.
Pretty much. And Royal household staff at Windsor have been parking there since records began.
Well, where are they going to park?
Well, I don't know, really. You have to go down the road, won't they?
If only they had some land available. Yeah. They've probably got about 80,000 acres.
Well, now, apparently the low-paid staff have to fork out a tenner a day on parking and local roads because Harry and Meghan have said, no, we don't want you parking where you used to.
See, I think it would be a good gesture for Harry and Meghan. I understand you don't want people parking where you can see into the rooms. I get that. But just pay their parking at that point. Give them an allowance. Don't you think? It's not like they're short of cash. It wouldn't take much, would it?
And what's their allowance a year for Harry?
Harry? It's £1 billion, I believe.
Unlimited pot.
I don't know what it is.
They've got to help those people out somehow.
Well, you would have thought so. I think they should. I think they should have. I mean, I think maybe they don't even know that this is the case, that they're having to pay fees. But if it's a tenner a day, that's a lot of money on parking for people on a normal wage. It's a huge amount of money, actually. And I think Harry and Meghan should help them out.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know?
I wonder if Harry actually knows.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We tend to think that they're okay, Harry and Meghan. That's the general view, although not in some of the newspapers who have sided with Kate and Wills in this supposed royal feud that's been going on between Kate and Meghan.
Don't you think a lot's being made of that, or is that sort of not really the case?
Do you know what? I find it hard to care, if I'm totally honest with you. Don't you?
No,
I mean, I saw what was it? Hello magazine yesterday, and it said the secret of Kate's glowing new look. And I thought, servants, that's probably what the secret is. A load of servants doing almost everything for her.
Gets a cup of tea.
Nannas probably as well. I don't know, probably got nannas wandering about there. But anyway, they've all got to pay for parking. That's the point. I don't care who you are, you're paying for parking. You're not looking through my windows.
I think no smoke without fire, Martin. I think there is a bit of a feud going on. But yeah, like you said, but they're going to raise that baby as a vegan. Did you know that?
Really?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
You know, because Meghan's all into that.
So sorry, Harry and Meghan.
Harry and Meghan's
baby. They're
going
to raise the baby as a vegan.
Yeah.
They're going to have it at home and then raise it as a vegan.
Yeah, with no one looking in the windows.
With no one looking at them as they feed it vegetables.
No wonder they're having a feud.
Yeah,
true.
That's right, because Wills and Kate, they feed their children raw meat. Apparently, they get venison, they shoot them, and then they bang them on the table like the 15th century.
And anyone
they get a fork.
And anyone can park in their garden.
And anyone can park in their garden. They'll probably shoot them, I imagine.
And eat them.
I'm speculating. They don't eat them. What are you saying? No. It's just sport.
Do you watch Fleabag?
No, I didn't. You know, I didn't really get into it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's
a lot
good.
Of people like it.
Yeah, no, it's really funny. They're talking about doing a third series. That's the story today.
No, I heard that it was over, Fleabag. They said we're not doing another one.
Oh,
Phoebe
Waller-Bridge. Yeah. Yeah, but she says I need to do more stuff before I find out what going to do next. In the first year series, she's in a rut, and in the second, things start for go for her again. So for the next series, she'd have to be doing full pelt.
Do you know what?
Talked of it.
There was, you know what? There was a piece at the front page of the Star today was saying we want to bring back proper sitcoms, right? It was just the most ridiculous. But there are some really good things on TV at the moment. The Derry Girls is very, very good as well. Afterlife is brilliant on Netflix. Not for you.
Not as good as his previous
stuff.
What
I'm saying
is,
this is quality stuff we're talking about.
Fleabag
Afterlife, Fleabag, Derry Girls, these are good sitcoms. But the Star, meanwhile, want more old school Mrs. Brown's Boys type nonsense.
Oh, no, not Mrs.
Well, anyway.
We've had enough of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Well, I certainly have. But, you know, 8 million people disagree.
This is Love Sport.
You're looking at Arsenal, Aaron Ramsey. There's a picture of Aaron Ramsey as well.
Yeah, that's what the paper's going with in the Arsenal game. Ramsey continues to sign off in style for classy Arsenal, is the Times headline. Ramsey puts Arsenal in the driving seat. The Mail and the Sun say Ram and Blast. And also Mark Irwin in the Sun saying, what on earth will Unai do when Ramsey goes? And every game he has like this, like he did last night, you do think, what are they doing? But he keeps doing that. I think part of it is perhaps because the weight's been lifted off his shoulders and he wants to leave Arsenal with a parting gift, and no better way to do that than a trophy in his final year.
Or a top four finish or whatever, you know, one of those things to leave Arsenal and go, there you go. I mean, I don't think Arsenal fans have completely taken to Aaron Ramsey in all the time he's been there. I'll be honest with you.
He gets goals though, doesn't he?
Yes,
important
he does.
Goals.
He's got two cup final winners for us. Yeah, he does. But one wonders why the Arsenal fans are not entirely convinced. And my feeling is he tries a few too many fancy flicks. And sometimes it annoys the fans when that happens. But all I would say about him is he never hides. Never hides. Mm. And you know what? It's nice to have a player like that. I've got a mate who sits near where we sit. And he moans about Rambo continuously. And it's like a blind spot with him.
Some people are like that though, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. And
some people are like that.
And fans have got the players that annoy them. But I think Arsenal will miss him. But you know what? I'll tell you what. To answer the question, one wonders what Arsenal will do. Well, they'll spend the £200,000 a week that they were going to spend on his wages on possibly buying some other players or possibly paying other players
a bit more. How can they let his contract run out? How have they allowed that to happen?
Listen, Unai Emery only turned up this year when Aaron Ramsey had a year left. They had a contract on the table, and Unai Emery basically thought it was for too much money because he's got some young kids coming through who he thinks can develop into good players, and he thinks that Ramsey might hold them back. He thought the money would be better spent. I'm not going to argue with Unai Emery right now. We are progressing, I feel. I think we're better than last year. So,
but I wonder if he's regretting that now, though. After the season that Ramsey's had, I wonder if he hadn't seen enough of him and now he's thinking, well, actually, we are a bit daft to let him go. But anyway,
too late now.
It is too late, yeah. But Mark Irwin in The Sun says it was hard to believe Arsenal had surrendered so meekly at Goodison Park at the weekend, but the return of Ramsey, Torreira, Aubameyang and Laurent Koscielny was making all the difference as Napoli were pushed further and further backwards.
Well, Arsenal played a more attacking team last night. It's the thing that we talked about. Everton, they played a slightly defensive team, but they were missing Torreira, by the way, at Everton. And I don't think you should underestimate that kid has done really well.
But it seems to be the thing of Arsenal being away compared to at home, doesn't it? So does he need to perhaps play a more attacking team away from home?
That was a discussion we were having just before. And that Martin feels that, and I feel that as well. But hey, Unai Emery's the boss. It's up to him.
Does he change it much? You know better than me.
Does he change it a lot.
From home to away?
He changes it. He changes it through the game. He changes it at home. He changes it away. He likes to tinker about.
And is it a particularly more defensive approach when you go away, in terms of the personnel?
Does he play the wide players or does he play defenders in wide areas to stop attacking fullbacks?
You know what? It depends who he's got. Yesterday would be essentially his first team. That would be the first team. He might play Rob Holding instead of Monreal. And by the way, if Rob Holding is back in that team, they might go 4-4-2. Because I think that would be his preferred option, have 4-4-2 and have Xhaka in there with Torreira. But you know what? It depends who's available. He plays different formations all the time.
Yeah, as a neutral, when you look at the team that Arsenal put out last night, you think, yeah, that's the way to do it. Ramsey, Ozil, Aubameyang, Lacazette, all the players who can win you a match.
I mean, if he played an attacking team like that away at Napoli and they got beat 3 or 4-0, which, let's be fair, could happen with Arsenal's away form, he would get pilloried, wouldn't he? Almost better for him to go, let's play 5-4-1 or 4-5-1 or whatever you want to call it.
Stoney, will he play that team last night away at Watford on Monday night? With all those attacking players like that, I can't see it.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will.
And I'm not going to have a go at him. I like the way they played last night, but away they just look like a different animal. They do.
Yeah, they
can't press as high up as they do at home.
No, they've lost just once in their last 18 home games in the UEFA Cup and Europa League. The only defeat was, do you remember?
What, the Europa League?
Europa League.
PAOK. Salonica?
No.
I do remember.
In the last 18, it was Östersund.
Oh, that's right. And that was a dead rubber anyway.
Dead rubber.
They'd won 3-0 in the first leg, so it didn't matter.
They could afford it, yeah. And Arsenal progressed from 8 of their last 9 Euro knockout ties that they've led after the first leg. The only one that they didn't was the 2010-11 Champions League last 16 game against Barcelona. What a night that was.
One of my favourite nights.
Yeah, it was.
And we were 2-1 up, but we lost in the second leg.
It's promising. I mean, like you were saying, what did you say, 52-48 percentage-wise?
I was saying that.
Yeah. How could that go wrong? But no, I think Arsenal have got a huge, huge chance. No away goal. That was crucial. And Insigne was guilty of missing a gilt-head chance, wasn't he?
No better than Ramsey's chance. But like I say, it could have been 4-2.
Yeah.
And that would have been better for them.
Yeah.
So I think Arsenal fans are optimistic. But we know what our away form's like. We know it's going to be tough. But by the way, we've got an unbelievably tough game on Monday first against Watford.
Very much so. They're doing great at the moment.
They're doing very well, and they're buoyed by what happened in the cup semi-final last week.
Yep.
But you know what? At least Arsenal fans are having a bit of fun this season. Last year was painful.
Yeah, definitely have taken a 2-0 before. On the back page of the papers, also talk about Harry Kane. That's been confirmed now that he's out for the rest of the season.
The question I've got about Harry Kane, he's got this ligament damage. Let's say he's in reasonable shape by mid-May, right? Does he go back in the England team? There's no warm-up for the England games. They've got Nations League semi-final against Holland on whatever it is, 2nd of June, 3rd of June. If he's fit, he's not. I mean, the word you used yesterday, Martin, was match sharp. He is not going to be match sharp.
And I wasn't sure that he was 100% fit after that ankle ligament strain. And now he's done the same ankle ligaments from what I've been told.
Yes.
So that often makes a much weaker ligament and it's going to need a lot more rehab work. And if I were Tottenham, I'd be saying, you're not playing for England. You're going to get yourself fit right through the summer, ready for pre-season, because that's going to take a long time and that's always going to be a weak ankle.
That hurts us then. That hurts England.
It will hurt England. Well, they haven't put a timescale on it, Spurs, but normally a ligament injury of this sort takes around 2 months. England's first game in the Nations League is on June the 6th against Holland, and that's in less than 2 months' time. So he's in a real fight for fitness to make the Nations League.
I believe he is. And like I say, even if he's sort of ready to start training mid-May, doesn't mean he's going to be ready to play on June the 6th. But you know what? The way that England played the other week, you put Rashford down the centre, you put Sterling on one side and Hudson-Odoi on the other, or Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
There is some cover there.
Yeah,
we've got
options now, haven't we?
We do feel like
we have
options.
All young and fit and fast and great on the ball.
Fast.
Yes, speed in our team.
Serious pace. There's no doubt that England will miss Harry Kane. That he's the talisman, he's the captain. But there are other forwards options.
And the man in form at the moment, with his 5 goals in 6 games, I think, is Jamie Vardy. Will they go to him and say, can you come back to play for England for a couple of games? I doubt it.
Well, there's a curveball.
Stick him on the bench. Well, he would be next choice. People were saying that he shouldn't have actually retired when he did, or shouldn't have announced it, because, all it takes is an injury to Kane or Rashford and he's the natural second choice. You've got Callum Wilson there now, he's been involved. So I don't think Vardy will. I'd rather have
Jamie Vardy than Callum Wilson, I'll be honest with you. Right now, Callum Wilson missed a couple of great chances at Bournemouth the other day. Jamie Vardy's banging them away. I think it's a shame for Harry Kane, and Spurs are going to miss him as well.
Yeah,
are they not?
Much
I mean,
so.
We are not even talking about that, but Spurs are going to miss him, I would suggest.
Yeah, although, as we said before, in previous times when he's been injured, they've actually coped okay and the others seem to come to the fore. So if they can get the best out of Son and
These are bigger games now, though, aren't they? These are the biggest games that Spurs are going to have. They got a cup. They got a European Cup quarterfinal against Man City and then possibly a semi-final after that.
Love Sports.
Joining us now is the former European Ryder Cup captain, Bernard Gallagher. Good morning, Bernard.
Yeah, morning.
Morning. I said you were going to talk about the Ryder Cup, but you're not. We're going to talk about the Masters, by the way. And by the way, Martin Allen, who's sitting here, told us a story. Now, you tell this story, Martin. You said when you were 11...
I was 12 years old, Bernard, and I was playing on a course. I was a member of a course called Calcot Park near Reading. And one day my dad took me to Wentworth to play the West course as a treat. And when we went into the pro shop at Wentworth, the guy serving us was called Bernard Gallagher. And my dad said, that is Bernard Gallagher, and he's a brilliant player. And I've never, ever forgotten you from when I was 12 years old. And so all these years and seeing you captain the Ryder Cup team was amazing.
Well, I used to split my duties. I always considered myself a club pro who played in tournaments, and that's really, you know, that was my first job. But I enjoyed playing in tournaments, and during Ryder Cup years, I used to play a lot more tournaments and try and make sure I was in the Ryder Cup. But that's, you know, that's really what happened. So,
I mean, in terms of playing in the Masters, I mean, we were saying, myself and Mike were sitting here saying, we possibly think this is the best of the tournaments. I know the Open, the venerable tournament, all the rest of it. But the Masters, it looks so pristine. The field is absolutely outstanding. I mean, let's talk about some of the things that happened yesterday. Rory McIlroy, a lot of people were saying that he was the favourite up and down round yesterday.
Well, it was a bit up and down. Yeah, he lost it a little bit in the front nine and then into the back nine he'd dropped a couple of strokes, then got it back. He got three birdies, but he had a bad finish, and that'll really grate on him. He finished bogey for a one over 73, and he doesn't need. He'll have to be careful. That'll have to be if he's looking to win this tournament. That'll have to be his worst round. And today is off last with Rick Fowler at 2 o'clock, and the forecast is that the breeze is going to get up, so he's going to have to play really well to catch the leaders.
Ian Poulter had a great round yesterday, 4 under. I mean, can he do it over 4 days?
Well, he's confident and he's got plenty of guts. And he's playing well, he's driving it straight. You know, he doesn't drive it as far as somebody like Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, but he hits it far enough to get round his course. But he's a superb putter and he's got a great temperament. You know, the thing about Ian Poulter, he just needs to give himself a real good chance and he could finish it off. You just never know. I mean, he's had chances in majors in the past and he's come close and not quite done it. And, you know, you just never know. He's such an unpredictable, gutsy player that, you know, he could do it.
You just want him to stay in contention till the final day, don't you? And then treat it like one last Ryder Cup round.
Well, all the players in this field are trying to get themselves into contention for the last nine holes. It all boils down to who plays the last nine holes on Sunday well. And that's where all the trouble is. That's where all the water is. That's where you try to avoid the problems going round Amen Corner. Then don't do what Sergio did at the 15th last year when he kept dumping it in the water all the time. And so that's really what we're looking for. And that's where all the excitement will be. And Rory McIlroy, for instance, who needs to win this tournament to complete his Grand Slam, he's got a lot to do, and that's what he wants to do, try and get himself into a position to contend in the last day.
Bernard, when you played Augusta, is it hilly? Is it hilly and real? Those slopes that we see on the TV, I'm not sure it actually does it justice, really, how difficult it is.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, it's a long time since I played Augusta and the Masters. It's back in the 70s. And when I first got there, I thought, the course is wide open and it's really hilly. You don't see that on television. And the greens weren't as fast back there in the 70s as they are today because the greenkeeper couldn't get them as speed up. But they were still pretty fast compared to things in Britain. But, I found it interesting. It's really a spectacle made for television, the Masters. You know, it's a small field. That's why players like Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods have dominated, because compared to other majors, there's only, for instance, this field, they've increased it. There are only 87 players. And if you think of our British Open, there are 150 players.
Yeah. And is it the other thing I read about Augusta is it's not a course that a rookie is likely to win. You need to play it a few times before you know you can navigate your way around it.
Well, yes, because the greens now are so fast, you get in positions on the green that you can't literally two-putt. You sort of knock it off the green, for instance, at the ninth hole. I don't know if people watch that on television, but anywhere above the green at the ninth and the pins at the front, you've absolutely got no chance. Many of the players have knocked it off the green all the way back down the fairway and they're chipping back from 20 and 30 yards.
Yeah.
And Gary Player always said that there's some holes with pin positions that sometimes it plays into the bunker. It's an easier bunker shot than it would be a putt.
And, wow.
But, I mean, you have to be a great bunker player like Gary Player to have that sort of mentality.
There's confidence. Nice to speak to you, Bernard.
Okay.
See you soon. Former European Ryder Cup captain Bernard Gallagher there talking about the first day of the Masters. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau in the lead on 6 under par.
This is Love Sport.
There is a story in the papers today about Preston and what has won its award for the best restaurant and the best pub.
In Preston?
In Preston, yeah. And it's basically an award supposed to be for local businesses.
Right.
The winners, Nando's and Wetherspoons.
Really?
Yeah,
that says a lot about Preston.
Yeah.
Have you been to Preston? You would have played in Preston, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've played at Preston, yeah. Managed teams at Preston as well.
Nice. Is it a nice place? Because it's been accused of being a town full of chavs. There's people on Twitter going, oh, well, if Nando's and Spoons are winning it, that says it all about Preston. But actually, other people who own pubs in Preston are saying, oh, brilliant, now we've lost to a Wetherspoons.
I think that's a bit unfortunate. Really?
I think it is, yeah.
I think chains like that have won best pub and best restaurant. I mean, to be honest, I've been to Preston a couple of times. It's got an enormous bus station. Biggest bus station in Europe. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. You like the bus station in Preston. I've heard you talk about that before.
Yeah. Well, it's a really big bus station.
How do you know that? Why would you do that?
Well, what do you mean, how do I know that? I'm a comedian. We know loads of stuff like this.
What? I'll tell you what, with Wetherspoons.
I know facts about towns.
It's cheap beer and it's a cheap full English breakfast. And it's a nice place to go, Wetherspoons, with your mates, to have a few beers. It's cheap. The food's cheap. So, yeah, you can see how that could win.
Yeah, you can see how it should win, but I mean...
Could win, not should.
Or could win, but it says a lot about Preston, doesn't it? And if the whole point of it is to celebrate local businesses, local pubs, restaurants, it went to a public vote, and that's why these things won. I mean, this isn't voted for by a panel. You can't trust the public.
We need a second referendum in Preston, is what we need.
Yeah, this is like Boating McBoat, the Times says. It's a
that's
bit like
right.
Boating McBoatface.
Yes.
When it goes to the public, but again, the public haven't done this for a laugh, have they? They obviously just do enjoy it. Nando's and Spoons are good places. But should they be winning those sort of awards?
Well, the local pubs and restaurants of Preston say no. Mm. But the people say yes.
Marco Rourke, who has a burger restaurant called We Don't Give a Fork, came runner-up to Nando's. He said,
I think he should lose just for the pun, personally.
He said that if people read that Wetherspoons is the best pub and Nando's is the best restaurant, it's terrible. It makes the area look awful.
Yeah, it doesn't give you a glowing review, because if you came up with some nice little village and there was the best pub, you'd have like a nice little village pub and maybe a little bistro or something like that. It's a shame in a way.
I reckon the reason they've probably won it is because there's a huge amount of people that probably pass through Nando's and Wetherspoons.
And they're the ones who
vote. They just make the votes. And the lovely little country pub with a fantastic chef cooking all nice bits and pieces is not getting so many people through. So the majority of the votes is going to go to Wetherspoons and Nando's.
This won't help them, will it? Because people will see that and go, oh, I must go to that Wetherspoons and Nando's.
They'll
really
win again
nice.
Next year.
They will.
You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting.
You do know what you're getting. As Martin said, cheap full English breakfast and cheap booze.
Yeah,
that's what people of Preston want. And in Nando's,
a good
nice
bit of chicken and halloumi.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, we can all agree on that.
What else we got?
Three geese are terrorising a village, chasing kids, pecking residents, trapping them in the cars. That's apparently what the geese are doing. Yeah, this is in Uphaven in Wiltshire.
Right.
They've lived with a flock of 17 of the birds for decades. No problems previously with the geese.
But three of them have gone rogue.
Yeah. They arrived 3 weeks ago.
What, out-of-town geese?
Out-of-town geese, yeah.
Are they foreigners? Migrant geese coming over here, attacking our people,
pretty much.
Trapping them in cars, pecking at people.
I'm not sure. I guess they're surrounding the cars. I guess
surrounding them? Three? Can they do that?
Well, if they're running around fast, yeah, they'd probably cover the whole car. But I'm not sure they're actually like blocking the cars with their wings, but
right.
I think the residents are too scared to open the doors in case they get attacked.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's a serious thing, these geese. Martin, you ever been attacked by geese?
No. The only thing I've been attacked by is I was living in Winchester when I was playing for Portsmouth. They went out for a walk on a Saturday morning with my two boys, George and Charlie, and they both had red puffer jackets on.
It wasn't a bull, was it? No.
As we're walking through the field...
Of cows.
Of cows.
Yeah.
There was a bull.
Oh, it was.
And the bull turned round and saw the boys and us three walking. And my boys were only small at the time. But this is a true story, by the way.
Yeah.
And the bull started to walk towards us. The cows stayed where they were. So the boys, one of the older one, George, starts. I said, George, run to the gate. It's about 40 yards ahead of us, straight ahead. So I picked up Charlie and I looked over my left shoulder and the bull's now running towards us. So I've got a bull chasing me. The bull was getting closer and closer and closer.
No.
And from about 10 yards behind me, I've put Charlie down and said, carry on running. Believe this or not, but it is. I promise this is true. I turned round and fronted up the bull.
No.
And went, rah! As loud as I could possibly do it with my horrible face on. And the bull, thank God, it stopped.
Martin, you're crazy.
Why would you do that? I had to, because it was going to get me.
You couldn't run out of the way.
No, it was catching me.
You know
what
you should have done? You should have taken one of your kids and held it out in front of you like one of the matadors and gone, hey! Right? And then as the bull came charging, you just lift your child out of the way.
Well, we got to the other side
of the
field.
That's another way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I would have done with my kids.
Both the boys were crying and I was just surprised. Deep breath. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe I've just got away with that.
Martin.
And a scary, scary moment.
Can't believe you took on a bull and won.
Yeah. I know, tough tackling he was. Yeah. One can only imagine some of the nastiness that went on when he was playing.
I could see it now. It was coming towards me and then it was looking at me. It was just staring me out. And as it...
You did the roar.
Oh, God.
My mate's very scared of cows. He says they rear up. He talks about them. He says a lot of people, about 7 people were killed by cows last year.
Well, they rear up. Yeah, but how many people walk through cows' fields?
Martin does with his children.
Martin does with his children.
In red coats.
In red coats with come and get me bull on the back.
The cows are just inquisitive, aren't they? I mean, yes, you can't...
7 people have been killed by them. Yeah, that's more than inquisitive. My children are inquisitive. They don't kill people.
What, do they get trampled on?
Yeah, they get trampled on by them, yeah.
They do.
But they do, I mean, because a friend of a friend had an epileptic fit in a field of cows, and the cows just came over and just all stood around just watching.
They like jazz music, don't they? Have you seen those videos? I've seen a few videos recently where jazz bands have stopped by a field of cows and started playing, and all the cows have come over to listen. They like a bit of music.
They love jazz.
Well, I think they've got terrible musical taste, to be perfectly honest with you. Because if anyone came and played jazz music near me, I'd start throwing water at them or something. But that's a personal thing. Love sports. The Masters is in full swing as the end of day one. Saw 3-time major winner Brooks Koepka and fellow American Bryson DeChambeau share the lead. Joining us now is the golf writer, Ben Coley. Good morning, Ben. Well, these are two names that we didn't really mention at the start when we had a little chat yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, gents. It's funny, isn't it? I think Brooks Koepka gets fired up by the fact that still nobody talks about him having won 3 of his last 6 majors.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely sensational. And so too was Bryson DeChambeau, who starred here as an amateur a couple of years ago and has now come back as a professional with designs on winning the title. You know, 2 of the best players in the sport, and perhaps we should have been talking about them a little bit more.
Yeah, instead we were talking about Paul Casey. He had his worst ever round, 9 over par, an 81. I mean, what went wrong?
It was a strange day for Paul. He got off to a nightmare start, really, and it's hard to understand why that might be, because he played in what appeared to be the best of the scoring conditions. But it just shows you what can happen at Augusta. I think if you were to look at 2 of the most solid players on paper going in would have been him and Justin Rose, and I know Justin sort of fought back a little bit and kept some sort of slim hopes alive. It obviously wasn't the day he expected either, and it's just what can happen, particularly on those greens, which were getting faster by the end of the day.
And with Poulter, we've seen over the years, he's always been there or thereabouts. He does a good 3 rounds, all the excitement going into the last day, and he's never managed to keep it together and really challenge in when it comes to these big tournaments. Do you think he can? Now's the time for him to actually step up, and would he be able to do it? Because he'd be a very popular winner, I think.
Yeah, popular with some, and I guess with some of the Americans, probably a bit unpopular. I'm a big fan. We've had a run of sort of divisive winners, if you like, with Sergio and Patrick Reed. Maybe Poulter would make sense in that regard. Look, he's playing probably as well as he's ever played at 43 years old. He concedes a big length advantage to those he's competing with. But I think in that regard, the weather forecast, which is fairly troublesome for Sunday, it might just help him a little bit and turn it into more of a grind than we saw on day one. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to go on and win it, but he's certainly a factor, and he's probably the best putter up there. So he'll hang on with them, I'm sure.
It's all about staying in contention, isn't it? This, it seems to me. I mean, I guess that's the same for all majors, but it feels like that even more for Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, one of the key sort of stats, if you like, with Augusta over the years has always been avoiding bogeys. And I know it sounds obvious, but it's not always the case. I mean, on other courses, you can get away with making four bogeys because you can make 10 birdies. Well, chances at Augusta are fairly few and far between. And Koepka obviously was bogey-free yesterday. He just made six birdies. Well, yeah. Rory McIlroy, he made six bogeys, and that was really the difference. He was as good when he was good, but when he was bad, he wasn't able to get away with it and scramble for those pars. And going back to Poulter, that's obviously something he does brilliantly. I mean, he hit the ball really well yesterday, but when he does miss a green, he's got that short game, the nous and the patience and the poise to go and just get up and down and limit the mistakes, even if that is a bogey rather than a double bogey. I think that is often what separates people here.
And looking at the scoreboard now, who would be your favourite that you think is going to get the green jacket?
Well, it's interesting because the weather today suggests that those who made hay last night actually are going to face some tougher conditions. So we might just see things condense. And I, for one, hope that happens because there's a risk, if not, that the two or three big names at the front of the leaderboard run away and make this a bit of a personal duel. Of them, I mean, you'd have to give the edge to Brooks Koepka because he's done it before, but I'm a big fan of DeChambeau. But watch out for Phil Mickelson. Look, he's one shot back of the lead. He's the one who's done it before. He's won three green jackets. He's won this year. You know, I don't think he'll be too far away. If I had to have a bet right now, it would be Phil. But I'm just hoping the field comes together slightly and we've got 20 potential winners going into the weekend.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. And by the way, Tiger Woods, who we haven't mentioned up to this point, is still in there.
Yeah, and he missed some very short putts on the front nine. He obviously in the
morning got some biggies as well, though, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Later in the day, they started to drop. That putt on 14 was really good, sort of Tiger of old. He played in the tougher conditions, if you judge it by scoring, and he was only one shot off the morning starters. So he'll be hoping that the late conditions, when it's a bit warmer, can see him go really low. He'll be on the live coverage all night, and it'll be fascinating to see how he and Rory get on together. Perhaps they can spur each other onto those sort of mid-60s rounds that they need to keep tabs on the likes of Koepka and DeChambeau.
That would be great to watch, and we hope they're doing that on Sunday. Thanks, Ben. Nice to speak to you. That's Ben Coley there, golf writer. And I think you were right, Martin, that really it's one of the great sights of sport, not just golf. Tiger on the charge if he's really playing well. Because one, there'll be about 20,000 people following him down the course.
Yeah.
But there is something just magical about watching him do that. And we'd like to see that on Sunday, wouldn't we, really?
Yeah, and he can hit extraordinary shots that are outside the remit of most of those other players. He can just find a bit extra when it comes to it. And Stoney, do you know what I love about the Masters? Sunday night, going round Amen Corner,
yeah,
those three holes, there's always upsets and simple shots for those players. And they mess it up. Yeah. I love it.
Well, the pressure, isn't it?
The pressure, yeah. Yeah. I just love it, seeing those Americans put it in the water.
Well, we'll be watching it the whole weekend. Jamie has come in with some stories from inside the newspapers. Jamie?
Yeah, well, there was a hunt for a duck killer, but it's concluded.
It's all poultry this morning, isn't it? We had geese earlier, now it's duck.
We did, yeah, there is a bit of a theme. But there was a hunt for this killer, and they thought there might be someone, a human being, doing it. But sure enough, it was a duck himself.
Really?
Killing other ducks. What he was doing...
With a crossbow.
Yeah, on the edge of the pond, yeah.
That is a very skilled duck.
No, it was...
It's been practising. So it was another duck killing that duck.
It was another duck. It was
duck on duck violence.
It was a Randy Drake called Donald. And what it was doing...
Donald.
It was jumping on the other ducks to try and have a bit of fun. And unfortunately, it was drowning them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... blimey. That's horrible, really.
It's left us speechless.
It has, really, because everything I was going to say is either too rude or just unsuitable for broadcast. So I'd just rather not. I'd just say, that's awful.
Yeah, I know. Yes. It is a real shame.
Ducking hell.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. he was, unfortunately, a bit too powerful, pushing him down.
Right.
All he was up for was a bit of fun. And
a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I love the way you keep saying that.
Well, he was.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes, the way his brow's going up at the top, though. Bit of fun.
Well, me or the ducks? And my brows?
No, yours.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll move on then, if we can't add anything to that story. There is another story about what our biggest gripes are with house guests. So if someone was to come around your house, what annoys you? We'll start with anything that grinds your gears when you invite someone around your house, Martin?
Well, somebody invited my wife and I round their house for dinner, and whilst they were in the kitchen, on the table, you know, the coffee table in the middle, they had these lovely green apples. Nice green apples, you know, like Marks and Spencer's, nice green. And I bit three of the apples and turned them upside down. Left them in their fruit bowl upside down, half-eaten green apples. A couple of days after we'd been round their house for dinner, they complained that somebody had eaten their apples and it was me.
What do you mean they complained? To who?
Well, they just said someone's eaten our apples and I'd been the only one in their lounge.
Why did you do that?
Well, I just thought it was funny. That's my one.
So that's what annoys you, is eating people's apples.
Yeah.
Well, if someone come round my house, and I also go around people's houses, and if we go upstairs to the loo, I take their toothpaste. So when they wake up the next morning, they can't brush their teeth.
That is so annoying.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that sort of stuff, though.
What about
speechless.
You?
Me? People taking bites out of my fruit. That really upsets me. Nicking my toothpaste. Honestly, somebody coming around my house and having a poo.
You don't like that?
I don't like that. Why are you doing that in my house? Go and do that in your own house.
That is a bit odd. But apparently, asking for the Wi-Fi password comes top of the list.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
Is that annoying?
Yeah, it's massively annoying.
Why?
Yeah, well, because I don't want to give out my Wi-Fi password to anyone who comes in.
Oh, fair enough. That doesn't bother me. Right. And also people not taking off their shoes. That came top of the list as well.
What, are you living in some sort of Tibetan retreat?
Do you make visitors take off your shoes and yours?
I don't know.
Nah,
you don't make them, but you just do it out of a good order, don't you?
No. Why?
Leave them by the front door.
No, really? Is you have no shoes in your house?
I don't put a rule up there. It's not like up on the wall, no shoes allowed. You just like
and the door.
Decency.
Before you come in, there's a number of rules. And as they come in, you just go, shoes.
But what do you put up on the wall? No number twos, no shoes. No shoes, no number twos.
I don't have a sign up. I just rather, I know, when they're outside, I say, listen, before you come in, have you been?
You don't have a contract. No shoes, no number two.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Make
no.
someone go in their shoe before they come in.
please. No. What annoys me if people come round? I don't know. Just table manners, things like that.
Yeah.
Not paying the correct price for the meal. Find that very upsetting if they don't do that. Annoys you, by the way?
I was just trying to think that. I mean, Wi-Fi I'm fine with. I mean, I can't remember the last time anyone did have a number two in my house. That wouldn't annoy me massively. I don't really know what annoys me.
Right. Kenneth Williams, when he wouldn't allow anyone to use his toilet.
Oh, I know what annoys me. People are not bringing something. If I invite them around for dinner and then they drink all my wine and then never invite me back for dinner and haven't even brought a bottle themselves.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. People not bringing something. Oh, there's Martin's got one.
I've got one now.
Right, what have you got?
You sit down, you're watching TV, and they've got your remote control and start turning your telly over.
What?
I don't like that.
You can't have that. No, I won't even let my missus have the remote control, let alone
my missus got our remote control. But if someone came around your house and started flicking through the channels, I wouldn't like it.
All right. So the FA has launched over 600 free fun football sessions this spring with over 12,000 places available for children to experience football for the first time at sessions introducing 5 to 11-year-olds to the nation's favourite game. We're joined now by the former Arsenal and England defender, mighty Martin Keown. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning, Mark.
How are you, Martin? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Well, you're here today. Are you going to invite people to sign up for one of over 600 McDonald's fun football sessions? Why should parents be looking to get their kids involved? I mean, it's an obvious question, really. I guess it's healthy. It's good for you.
Exactly that. And within the sort of local communities, it's, you know, look what it's done for me, for Martin and everybody else. It's a great opportunity. Football reaches out, doesn't it? Makes you a part of the community. And we shouldn't take it for granted, really, by the way, with all these other sports around, other opportunities for young kids. So this is basically sort of homing in on 5 to 11-year-olds, introducing them to the beautiful game. We're calling them fun football centres, and they will be up and down the country, 600 of them, hoping to get 500,000 young boys and girls playing football. So it's a great opportunity, all free of charge, of course, restructured coaching, but not too much coaching. It's about fun and getting people to express themselves and enjoy themselves in their local communities.
So, Mark, is it at weekends or is it evenings after school? How's it going to operate?
A bit of both. It's mostly weekends. There is, though, the football festivals that McDonald's and the FAs are running will still carry on. in local communities. That's mostly, that goes right through the summer as well. This is an extra about participation, trying to get new people in to play the game. So in the evenings and mostly weekends.
And when you get hold of them, aren't you going to teach them to be like defensively all over them like a rash?
Yeah, the art of defending. The art of defending seems to have disappeared a little bit, shall we say.
And
it was interesting. I was at the Arsenal game last night, and you know Arsenal did exceptionally well, but there were a few difficult moments for the defenders. And I'm quite big on, you know, getting into position early. And when we have the ball, our front players, you can't stand there and admire them. You've got to get into position, ready for when you lose the ball. And that wasn't happening last night. And Arsenal sort of weathered that storm. And I was getting a little bit passionate, as I am about defending. And it does feel that way. But it's about playing. It's about developing and expressing yourself and taking the game to the opposition. And then, of course, you leave those holes behind. So, you know, it's getting that right balance. And the teams with the right balance are often the ones that are most successful.
Yeah.
And Mark, we've been discussing with Stoney, who is an Arsenal supporter.
Yes.
Will they go with such an attacking lineup when they play away in Napoli? Or will they sort of adapt and play more of a on-the-counter-attack style of football?
Well, that's exactly right. I think that problem, you've been a manager, Martin, and I think Emery will be burning the midnight oil trying to work out what's his best system. I feel maybe that, you know, he might want to be a bit more compact. He made good changes in the game last night when Napoli looked like they were going to sort of run away with it on the flanks. He put two wide players on, did away with one of the front players, took Ozil off. That might be the way he wants to do it, but I'd like to see the twin strikers. I'd like to see, that's their threat really that they have. Maybe play though Ramsey in the Ozil role and bring Xhaka in to be a bit more secure. You know, people criticise Xhaka, but he's more defensively minded. For Torreira did really well last night, but play the five at the back because it will become a five. But just be, you know, be better in that. The three has to be better than it was last night. But you've got to, you know, if Arsenal were to score in that game, and there always has to be that chance to score, it really would hurt them. You can't just sit back and defend. I don't think Arsenal are good enough just to try and protect a 2-0 win.
No.
And only time will tell whether two goals is enough.
We do, I must admit, where we sit, we do talk about Torreira, and he's got a bit of you about him, actually, and we do like watching him. With Aaron Ramsey, he's obviously playing with a lot of freedom now because he knows he's off at the end of the year. Do you think that Unai Emery's made a mistake there?
I don't think it's his mistake. I think that he's inherited that. You know, what it's like with trying to, over the years, your Bergkamps and Henrys and Vieiras were tempted into contracts, new contracts, you know, 2-3 years before they were running out. They left it too late. And that's not part of the current management team's problem. I think he could have rescued it. He wasn't prepared to pay the money. And it's a real disappointment for the Arsenal fans because he's their most important player at the moment. And he's now playing him in a deeper role. So he plays much deeper and
arrives late.
He arrives late, but he changes the numbers, and he's got an incredible engine to do that. And he basically, I mean, that was the thing last night. In the second half, he had the intelligence not to keep going forward and to sit in that midfield. He didn't vacate midfield.
No.
And if he has the right sort of intelligence there, he's a very useful player. But I think when you go to, in the away leg, I think you need to have two sitting midfield players to be maybe a little more secure.
And the club seems to have evolved from Arsene Wenger and that transition from Arsenal, from Arsene's Arsenal now to Emery's style and the way that he's implemented himself into the club. He seems to have taken it forward without any disrespect to Arsene.
Martin, he was there 22 years. You know, in Arsenal's last season, they conceded over 50 goals, which is the most they'd ever done. It was the worst points total in Wenger's period. You know, he's had to turn that around. What he hasn't yet sorted is the away form. The away form is still exactly the same. Really very poor.
Yeah.
And it's the away form which would determine where they finish up in the season. And to look at the Premier League, maybe the best way is to win the Europa League. If you're looking at the fixtures that they have remaining, I think they play away at Leicester, away at Wolves, away at Watford this weekend. I don't think Arsenal are quite good enough to win those games. They're just so inconsistent. The Everton performance was really very poor. At home, probably one of the best teams in the Premier League right now. 7 wins on the bounce. But they can't find that formula away from home. And back in the day when we were playing, it was always the same 11. It was just, and I just think some of the characters that you know, if you think about what do you need when you play away from home, you need character and strength, steeliness. And that seems to disappear whenever they play away from home.
Yeah, Mustafi, that's what we need away from home. before we let you go, Mike, you don't have to answer that. I'm just
saying. You're out of order.
Thank you. For that, but just before you go, this thing, this sounds like a great idea, this McDonald's Fun Football Sessions. There's also, for the kids who can't make the sessions, there's the FA Super Kicks app. Can you just tell us about that briefly?
Well, it's the www.mcdonalds.co.uk/football. So if they go onto the website, they can find out everything they need to know about the Fun Football Centres. And yeah, great initiative. So I'm very pleased to be a part of it.
Martin, very good to speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Martin.
Martin Keown there, former Arsenal and England defender. Just brilliant defender as well. Loved him.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.